Glory to God.
Father God, I just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, tell my people I'm coming. Father, we praise your name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We magnify your name. We exalt your name, for your name is above every name. You said at the name of Jesus. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify your name on today, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised. We just want to say thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come before your presence on today, Lord, because you did not have to, Lord, and we say thank you, Lord God. We are so grateful unto you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just hear the Spirit of God saying, prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Prepare yourself. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give everything back to you, Lord God. We surrender this service back to you, Father, this day. And I ask that not my will, but thy will be done in this service, Lord God. I'm asking that you to minister to every believer that is on this service on today, Lord God. If there's any unbelievers, save their souls, Lord. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, that you would do a new thing in us, Father, and cause it to spring forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that, Father, you would not let me speak anything that I want to speak. But let me speak only what your Spirit give me utterance to speak. I yield my body. I yield my mouth, Lord God, to you, Lord. And I'm asking for your will, Lord God. I'm asking, Lord God, for you to move by your Spirit because you know exactly what each and every last one of us need that's on this line on today, Lord. And so we thank you in advance, Lord. We thank you for being God all by yourself. Hallelujah. And we glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so I'm going to jump right into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm trying to remember where I was supposed to start that. Hold on. I'm going to start at verse 12 in Ephesians chapter 1. And it says, in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may, hallelujah, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Give me one second. Y'all give me one second. I gotta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give you praise. Hallelujah. And so, I'm going to go back and finish this verse. Give me 1 second. I'm getting ready to go back to it. Okay. Going back into the last part of that verse. Give me 1 second to get back. It says, I'm going to start back at verse 16 and go back down. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so I'm gonna do this in the basically English. This is Ephesians chapter 1. I'm gonna start back at verse 12. It says, so that his glory might have praise through us who first had hope in Christ. So you know, in the King James, it had that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So that his glory might have praise through us who first had hope in Christ, and whom you, having been given the true word, the good news of our salvation, and through your faith in him, were given the sign of the Holy Spirit of hope, which is the first fruit of our heritage, till God gets back that which is his to the praise of his glory. For this cause, I haven't had news of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, in which you make clear to all the saints. Give praise without end for you, keeping you in mind in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that having the eyes of your heart full of light, you may have knowledge of what is the hope of his purpose, what is the wealth of the glory of his heritage in saints, and how unlimited is his power to us who have faith, as is seen in the working of the strength of his power, by which he made Christ come back from the dead and gave him a place at his right hand in heaven. So when we're looking at this on today, you know, God pretty much gave me this word right before we went on. And I got to tell you that when he was dealing with me about this, it kind of coincided with some things that I had been reading. And I was like, well, Lord, I said, you know, I have been, you know, praying to the Lord about his people. And, you know, this world right now is very corrupt. It's very deceptive. A lot of people are being deceived. And, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Silo koshila la la ni ando sora. Ilo shi de de ne hora baboshi. It's time, Lord. Come, mama. It's time for God's people to come out of darkness and into his light. I want to give you some more verses. Because when he's talking about here about having your eyes of your heart full of light, you may have knowledge of what is the hope of his purpose, of what is the wealth of the glory of his heritage in the saints. And when you look at the King James, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So the hope of his calling is the purpose of this whole thing. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance and the saints. Why is this important? Because there's a lot of things out there. We was not created for our own selves. We weren't created for our own enjoyment. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that. The scriptures lets us know that we was made for his enjoyment. We weren't made for our own. So let me tell you something. If I was to go in there and make me a dessert that I really like, okay? And so I want that dessert to taste a certain kind of way. I want it to look a certain kind of way. So the dessert can't come and tell me, well, no, this is not the taste that I believe that I'm supposed to be. This is not the look that I feel like it should be. Let me take it from food. Let me just, I have a degree in theater. So, in theater arts. And so, you know, I've done playwriting, directing, and acting and all that, you know. So, let me take it from this standpoint. If I was to sit down and write a script for a play, the characters in that play can tell me what I intended for them to act like or to intend for them to sound like when I'm telling them to, these are the scriptures, and you go to rehearsals because you got to get the director's take on the character. Because even though I'm an actress, I can read the script and I can read my lines, study my lines and study the lines of the other characters and analyze all I want to. And I can do all this. And even though I've been doing it for so many years, I pretty much can get it down. But if that's not the director's view, then I'm wrong. I can come in there and say, oh, I feel like the character should look like this, be dressed like that, and I come in and the director let me know that that's not the look I had for that character. That's not the way I wanted your character to look. That's not the way I wanted your character to behave itself. Well, I'm going based upon the lines, and then I find out, well, the lines that I'm saying is not exactly in line with his vision, the words. And then I interpret that from the words that I supposed to visualize myself looking this way. It was not the visualization of the director. He had a vision for what he wanted me to look like and sound like. And so this is the same thing with the Lord. We as Christians, people here on the earth feel like, oh, well, I'm here to satisfy myself. No, you're not. You didn't create yourself. And no matter how much how many lies of anything that anyone put, the scriptures plainly tell us that he made the end before he made the beginning. Matter of fact, the scriptures let us know he predestined before the foundations of the world those who were going to be saved. He already knew they were going to be saved. Now, y'all know we did a while back. I think it was earlier this year. It might have been earlier this year. It might have been last year. I don't know, because there's a lot going on. I have to go back in my notes and look. I preached a sermon where I took y'all to a scripture in the Old Testament where there were some things that was going to take place, and God allowed a prophet to be able to know even the person's name that was going to do it. He called him a child because he would have been a child of him, but he was a man when he did it, right? He said he let him know the child name was going to be and how they was going to go and destroy this little area that the people had built up. They had all these idols, how they've been doing stuff that they had no business doing before the Lord. And that stuff happened. It happened years after that man said it, because I think that man was dead and gone by the time it happened. But the point is, I'm bringing it up because when you're dealing with the prophetic, and you know, people feel like, oh, the prophetic is this thing that, this is a fresh word. It's fresh to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just correct me. He said it's not even really fresh to the prophet, to the real prophet. He said, because you got to understand, before we even got to this earth, God revealed to us what we was going to do. When he breathed out of his mouth and brought us into existence, and we was a spirit before him. Ah, he breathed out of his mouth. He communed with us. That's why the scripture said that who he foreknew. And if you know anything by knowing, knowing in the scriptures means intimacy. So for who he forehad an intimacy with, who he before time had intimacy with, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's the whole reason why it's important to study the word, because what the Bible says, study the word, show yourself a workman not need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For there's a right way and a wrong way. Let me get to the scenery of what he's trying to put here. So then, as he breathes out of his mouth, he sat there and he communed with us about why he created us. He told us what we was created for when he breathed us out of his mouth. He told us where he was going to send us. He told us what family we was going to be born to. He told us what kind of life we was going to have. He even showed us all the areas of our lives to show us, you know, these are different things you're going to deal with, different events that's going to come up, different things and all this kind of stuff like that. That's why you hear people say, oh, deja vu. Deja vu is nothing but saying, oh, I remember what was showed to me before the foundation of the world. Yeah. That's all it is. And so then, they're scientifically, they have proven that we don't use majority of our brain.
Yeah.
And so the Spirit of God let me know, he said, the part of your brain that you do not use is where it's housing the information that I showed you before you came to the earth. He said, you already saw it. That's the reason why when I say a true prophet, when they're sitting around and they're prophesying something, you know, people say, well, it's forthcoming, this and that, and all that kind of stuff. Well, really, it's not forthcoming. I know a lot of theologians and people who are students of the word are like, oh my God, heresy, this is not right. Well, it's really not forthcoming. Because it was already told before it came.
Yeah.
It was already made. It's already been in existence before we can get to it. Oh, yeah, I'll catch it down the road. For those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church, it's already been there.
Yeah.
You just not in the time frequency with what's already been declared. Because he made the end before he made the beginning. So before I can get to the end of my life, he already made the end of my life before he made the beginning of it. So all I'm doing is walking towards that time. That's why the Bible says that all of our appointed times is in him. That's why the scriptures say that. And that's why he say those who ever, that's why when people get this thing that I'm a master of my destiny, no, you not. You just think you are. And that is a spirit of pride that rises up to make you think you are. No, God already knew what you're going to do before you did.
Yeah.
He already have knowledge of it. Nothing you do take him by surprise. And so, looking at that, I forgot what book we was in where it was talking about that. He laid out everything that the guy was gonna do, everything to the detail. Matter of fact, God showed Abraham when he was in a vision. But you know how sometimes they call a vision or something. He was like like translated out, like he was like in a state of a trance. And he saw his descendants going into slavery. He saw that his descendants were going to be in slavery for 400 years. God gave him the exact number of years. Isn't that how long they were there?
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about that then. God was like, you're not going to be on the earth to physically see this, but I'm going to show it to you before it happens. Mm. Well, it's already happened because I already said it was going to happen, you know, prior to all this, right? And so, Lord Jesus, it says, and that having the eyes of our heart full of light, you may have knowledge of what is the hope of his purpose, what is the wealth of the glory of his heritage in the saints. What all this got to do with everything? there is a purpose for what God has called us here for. There's everything, you know, he has stuff set in place for us to do. But I want to get into some verses because I'm trying to get to where I need to go. Okay, so give me a second. Just give me 1 second. Let me get there. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Father God. Ilebo kotele kishile krefu hori anda har hitioho. Yelena koshini anda harak no honi mi karanda da shuronini. Hallelujah. Give him glory, give him honor. You know how he's saying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, check this out. When you look at it in the basic English, it says, and that having the eyes of your heart full of light, you may have knowledge of what is the hope of his purpose, what is the wealth of the glory of his heritage in the saints. Now, the reason why it's here, enlightenment in the King James and full of light, because enlightenment is when you're full of light. And to the degree of the light of God that's in you is to the degree that you'll understand. It's to the degree of where knowledge comes forth, because that light emanates from Christ himself. That light is, you know, Christ light, which is coming through the Father, from the Father to Christ. And Christ goes inside the Father, and then he pulls from the Father, and the Father gives to him, and he gives back to the Father. And Christ gives us that light. He enlightened us to the. And the angels, they sit back and they watch this. And they see that this is God's creation, but they see our filth. They see our sin. They have records of our sins. They have records of everything that we've done in this body, in this life. But it's an amazement to them how Christ, full of the light of the Father, how he deposits his light, his love into these filthy beings that transforms from darkness to light. And in this transformation is the fulfilling of the purpose of why he created us in the first place. He said, because who he predestinated, he said, who he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. His son is light and love. He's light and love. Matter of fact, the scriptures talk about the Father that there is no shadow of turning in him. Yeah. There's no verbalness of darkness anywhere in the Father. I'll never forget years ago, I think I was still a teenager. If I wasn't a teenager, then I was in my early 20s, but I believe I was still a teenager. And I had been really in the face of God. I had been really, really seeking the Father. And I remember one night I had got out of my bed in my room, and I walked through the hallway. And in our hallway, there's no light anywhere when the lights are cut off, you know, and if the lights are cut off, like in the rooms, or if the doors are shut or something, there's no light. And the wall, the two walls, the walls on each side of me in the hallway, when I passed through, there was light shining off the wall. And so immediately I was like, is that angels? And the Lord told me, he said, no, that's the light of God emanating off of you. We are created to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are created to bear witness to his light. Do you realize that when God destroys the fallen angels at the end of the age, that one of the things that's going to happen to them is darkness is going to come upon their face, and their face will be bare. And those who didn't recognize God and didn't live for God, when they stand to be the judgment, when they go into their judgment, then their faces will be darkened. All this stuff is in representation of the light of God. All these things that people are doing here on the earth, there was a certain fallen angel that taught that stuff to mankind. And that's the reason why when people be talking about how they're so and wondered about how Egypt did all these things, the fallen angels taught them how to do this stuff. And so, you know, when people be sitting up to tell me, oh, it's aliens, well, if you're going to say aliens, they alien from this world because they did not come from this world. They was created as heavenly beings. And so, you know, they've done a lot of things. There's a lot of lies. And because the people of the children of God have the children of man, the children of man have believed the lies more so than believe the truth of the Father. And they instead of being enlightened, they have been darkened by the things of this world and the trickery and the treachery of the enemy. When they stand before the Lord, this darkness that's within is going to begin to show out more openly. Let me tell you something. Those of us who walk in the spirit, I can look at people and just look at them and tell what's going on with them, where they are, and they walk with Christ. Let me tell you something. When people have a spirit of vanity, they get uglier and uglier. They you can see different things. You can see the darkness and different things that come upon that comes upon them. Like when people are divulging in certain type of sins, it's crazy. I mean, I know this is gonna sound real crazy. I could be walking around sometimes in the store, and I can see a person, and God deals with me first by. He'll throw up an image before me, and when he throw that image up before me, I already know what's going on. And I just be like, oh my God. I be like, Lord, okay, they doing this and they doing it. He'll draw me into certain parts of people's bodies sometimes to let me know what is going on with them. And I'm like, Lord, I said, it's sad, but if you have been tricked by the enemy so much to where the enemy makes you think, oh, you know, this is all right. And it's Lord, like, it could be Shekin Zakeh. People believe the lies. They believe that the things that we're doing is all right. We are not all right. You know, we have to really seek the faith. We've been called to show the light. God wants his light to be revealed in us. Okay, I'm trying to go to one of these verses. Let me just talk about how he wants us to, one of the things he wants to have a radiant life. And that radiant life is where we are really, really showing the light of Jesus Christ. In Job 11:17, it says, and thy age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. Listen to me. When you are serving the Lord, there should come a point where the shining of his life be so bright, light in you be so bright, the enemy runs from it. The enemy runs from it. He don't want that light. And so right now, Satan is still appearing as an angel of light to people. That's the reason why at the end, his face is going to be dug and his face is going to be shoved into the ground and he's going to be buried. You know, to the stuff that he's going to be buried into when he gets, you know, put thrown away and everything. You know, to the abyss and to the burning lake fire and everything. He got a lot of stuff he's going to go through. But it's because of the lying of his light. Because what he does and what he's doing is he's taking a phase of what he had in heaven. For there was a reflection. And this is a real key. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is a revelation right here. when, just like Satan was in heaven and he was in the presence of God and he was a covering cherubim, he didn't lose his light when he hit the earth all his life. Even though he's the devil now, he's Satan, he's evil, he still is able to reflect the light. That light is also what? Wisdom, knowledge, right? He was able to see secret things. One of the things the fallen angels did was reveal secrets and mysteries from heaven that they was never supposed to reveal to the children of man. And so just like he did that, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me, this revelation right here. The same way with people on the earth. There's people who have once walked real close with God. And you can get close to God, it don't mean you stay there. You can walk away and go into sin. But it doesn't mean that you forget what you learned. The light of that thing is not there. And then with man, the Spirit of God gives us gifts. And he's not an Indian giver. Once you got that gift, you got that gift. And when people have operated in their gift, they can operate in their gift even in sin. This is the reason why I don't get caught up. And so with folks, when they do this stuff, because if they're in sin, then there's another spirit attached to them now. That's operating in them, but they're giving some truth, the truths of some of the stuff that has been revealed to them when they was walking with God. And then they are dealing with the demonic activity of what is left, right? So why is God saying this? Because we was called to walk in the true light. We was called to be a true light, but there are false lights out there. Okay, let's get down off into Psalm 34, verse 5 says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces was not ashamed. God always lightened what is of him. There is light. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 says, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Uh-oh. And so you get the wisdom from God, right? And so you change. Just like there's shift changes here, they shift change because the demonic stuff. You change because of the light of God in your faith. I don't care how many times I tell people, well, this is, they ask me, well, why you this and that? And I'm like, because God. People don't believe it. Yeah, when you're in the presence of God, God changes you. He transforms you. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you're supposed to be having this brilliance of his life, and then you're supposed to be after causing people to come to Christ so they can change and they turn and yeah, Lord, but me say that come die you. I hear the Spirit of God saying, how can you inherit the goodness of Christ if your very thought of what you want to do with it is evil? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Lord have mercy. John chapter 5, verse 35 says, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. They talking about John the Baptist, and he was. He burned and he shined because he had the Spirit of God. He had the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. He had the light of God flowing in him. Okay, so then when you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 15, he says, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Let me tell you something. This happened to Stephen right before they killed him, before they stoned him. They saw God was on him and was still dumb enough to sit up and stone him. But you got to understand something. God wants to be that visible on you. You've been created for him to be that visible on you. And you can't have no vanity thoughts, no thoughts of being hired and this and high that, high-mindedness. You'll never get that. That is of the devil. Because the devil wanted to be higher than God. It's the same spirit. When in your mind you want to outbe somebody, do this and now that, you walking in the same spirit Satan was walking in. And so Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we are with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the spirit by the spirit of the Lord. I want to do that in the basic English. Give me 1 second. Let me go there. Because I really, really want to do that in the basic English. Because there's some things that God wants to reveal to his people. He really wants to show us some stuff. Okay, so look here. We're going to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to do the chapter 3, verse 13 in the basic English. Because I want to put them side by side with each other. 3 and 18. Okay, let's drop down. Okay. It says, but we all with unveiled face, given back as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Hold on. You mean that God is telling you, I want you to look like me. See, when he said, let us make men in our own image, people get so twisted. They always just think about the spirit, soul, and body. He said, but I created you to actually look like me. He said, I created you to transform from what I created you to be into being the heavenly version of what I created you to be. Light, love, understanding. See, when you get into the light of God, the light of God is also the love of God. You cannot separate the light and love of God from each other. They go together. They like married. They entwined within each other. And the light and the love of God bring forth the glory of God, which emanates from the very image of the soul of the individual. God said, I want your soul to transform. He says, your soul transform, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, the very light that emanated from me, from my throne room. From as I reveal myself from glory to glory, and I go from glory to glory to glory to glory, so then I want to make you glory to glory. Just as the angels shine the lights and the stars shine in light, I want that same light to shine in you. So it says, but we all with unveiled face, giving back as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord who is the Spirit. Satan don't want none of that. So he entices you with your own lust. He entices us with our own lust, whatever your lust is. Some people lust after money. Some people lust after sex. Some people lust after food. Some people lust after whatever fame, fortune, want to be this or want to be there. You know, whatever kind of ignorant device we got going on. And so he uses those things because he's like, I can't let them get to this point. I cannot allow them to show what God really wants to be shown. That's why the Bible tells us that we must persevere. We got to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ. In other words, you got to press toward. Reason why you got to press towards it, because there is a lot of opposition to it. There's a lot of demonic opposition to it. And so God wants us to bear the light. It was some other stuff I wanted to get into, but the Lord is just telling me to cut it off there. He's like, cut it off there. There was a whole lot more he wanted to. He had given me, but he wanted me cut off. We supposed to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There shouldn't be nothing that gets in the way of how bad you want God. And the thing about it is God weighs the hearts and the minds of people. Matter of fact, he already know what we're going to do before we do it anyway. He's not going to give it when we have ulterior motives. You got to have a pure heart before the Lord. Pure motives. And you can lie to yourself all day long. But God knows the truth of our hearts. And we have to bring our hearts before him. So that these things may take place. I grieve for our generation. I grieve for us that's upon this earth right now. Because we are deceived. I'm not going to say I'm deceived, because that's the reason why I'm grieving. Because the people on the earth right now that think they see is actually blind. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And y'all, that's dangerous. And you walk around and you give bits and pieces of this and bits and pieces of that, and your mind is seared. Because anything that is taught, you got something negative to say about it. You got something that you feel bad because you don't want to look at the truth of your life, that the fact that you really don't want no parts of God. When we really want God, then we want what God really wants from us. When we really come to the knowledge of the truth, we realize, hey, man, I wasn't created for my own pleasure. I was created for his pleasure. It pleasures God to see himself in us. God gives good. It's just like a parent looking at their child and they can see themselves in their child. They get pleasure. Because some parents have issues if somebody say that that child resembles another family member or has certain attributes of another child, which I think is stupid. Because I'm like, if it's the child's blood, that's a possibility. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the thing is, you get pleasure. Well, God is a jealous God. So imagine how he feels. What he thinks about when he looks at us and what he sees. Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway. Lord, I just bless your name. For you are worthy to be praised. And I'm just asking you, Lord God, to just move upon your people that have heard this word and even those that's going to hear this word in the future. I'm asking you, God, to sanctify your people, Lord God. Consecrate your people for your use. Cause your people to dedicate their lives unto you, Lord God. To surrender wholeheartedly, Lord. Cause us to truly surrender, Lord. To let go of everything in this life, Lord. And walk in the light of your understanding and of your love. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to deliver us from every demonic force, oh God. They want to see us, Lord God, be destroyed like them. For they know they are waiting their judgment. They already know they got a judgment time. And they know that their judgment has been set because you already told them what was going to happen to them, Lord. So they want to see what you created suffer just like them, Lord. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will preserve us from that, Lord. That you will deliver us from that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, that we, Lord God, will not be deceived as they are, and that we will not get caught up in what they're caught up in. And God, if they would be entangled in our lives in any of those areas, Lord, I ask that you would deliver us this day, Lord God, and set us free. For you said, who the Son set free is free indeed. So we ask that you set us free, Lord. You've got so many people, Lord, distraught, Lord. So many people are blinded, and God, they are sealed it with their lies. And the demons have put so many lies out there, historical lies, that your people are now have susceptibility to, Lord God. and that they feel like it's truth, but it's actually a lie. And Lord, I ask you to deliver your people. Take the blindness off their eyes. Let them really see, Lord. Let them really see. Because, Lord God, our life is limited on this earth. And when we close our eyes to this side, Lord God, we awake to judgment. But you said first come death and afterward the judgment. And Lord, we're going to be judged for the deeds done in this body. Whether we did what you told us to do or we didn't, Lord. God, your people are so removed from that fact, oh God. They so blinded to it, Lord God, that it gives them the ability to sin uncontrollably every day. And I ask that you will bring us back to that, Lord God. Remind us of that, Father. Reveal it to us, Father, in the fullness, that we might become the light that you created us to be, Lord. And that we will come forth at the time that you told us to come forth, Father. In Jesus' name, to bring you glory and to bring you honor. Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to give Prophet Junior a chance to come forth. You know, to see if the Lord said anything to her. If not, then she'll give us our announcements. And then after she gives the announcements, I'm going to come back and pray for tithes and offerings. So if you have tithes and offerings, you can go on and send it to the website now so that when I come on, when she comes back from giving either words God giving or giving an announcement, I can go on and start praying.
Good afternoon, everyone. When right before Pastor was getting ready to call me up, the Lord started talking to me. And now he showed me a few faces, but I know that this, what I'm getting ready to say, is for more than one person. So he was showing me the spider, and he showed me like this spider's web. And it's like I saw this this insect, and the insect kept like touching it. Like he would go up to the web, and he would like touch it. And he would like get away from the web, you know what I'm saying? And every time he would touch it, it would like alarm the spider. And the spider would go running up, you know, to see, but there was nothing there. And the Lord told me, he said, go ahead and tell him. He said, say that you keep on touching the spider's web. He said, but you're getting ready to be entangled. And I know a few people that came before me when he was showing me that, as you all know, members, and I'm asking visitors on the line, members paying tithes and offerings and visitors on the line giving an offering, go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button to be able to do that. I'm asking visitors to give an offering, as you would if you were in the building and we were passing around the offering tray. Members, if you have purpose in your heart, as I have, to do your seed every week, go ahead right now and do your seed. As Pastor spoke a few minutes ago, and she asked you all, go ahead and do your tithes and your offerings. You know the avenue to be able to do that, because she's getting ready to pray. Those of you who have not completed your pastor appreciation, I'm asking that you will continue to pay on that. There are some of you that I have not contacted as of yet, but I will be contacting you, and I thank you all. Oh, someone on the line, when she was talking about vanity, I heard you in the spirit, and you were like, what is vanity? And vanity is like when you have this grandeur, like perception of yourself, you know, like when somebody thinks they all that, you know, they're really into themselves, you know, like they think they so pretty and so fine, and you know, and so that's what vanity is. And the scriptures tell us not to think too high, too low of ourselves, but to think soberly.
I'm gonna give you the biblical definition of it. She gave you the She gave you a lot of it, but I'm going to give you the biblical dictionary, a definition of it, so you'll know. Because it's very important that, you know, we do what God tells us to do. Give me 1 second, I'm just flipping through my pages. Okay. It means trouble, wickedness, emptiness, because people who are vain are empty. Emptiness, worthless thing, ruin, guile, idolatry. And the reason why it's idolatry is what she said. That person is really into themselves. So they lifted themselves up. They feel like they higher than anything is. And so they idolize their own self. Waste, formless, and so that person that has vanity is formless, because we was created to be conformed to what? The image of Christ. So you formless if you're not formed in the image of Christ. Transcendence and depravity. So, you know, vanity is, you know, it's a lie. It really could get deeper in that, like if I was to break it all the way down, but I know we don't have the time. Because it's way more to it than even just what I read. And so we have to guard guard our heart for the issues of life flow from it. And anytime you see a vain person, I always give people, this is the picture that God always give me of vanity every time I get ready to go here. If you ever watch Snow White, the Disney movie Snow White, you will see that her wicked stepmother was the image of vanity. She was so vain till she wanted to kill anything that she thought looked better than her. She wanted to make sure that she was the best looking thing. She had a mirror that she would do and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of the mile. She wanted to be the fairest thing in the land. That's the same. And so God always uses that as an image. And so where she was thinking that she was the fairest thing, she was very ugly. She was really ugly. She was really even ugly. And that spirit of vanity causes people to be ugly. Man, I be sitting back looking at folks, especially when they get to the height of it. You start seeing certain things that it's certain things that begin to stick out. Certain things that just begin to show you, it show because that spirit is ugly, is really, really ugly. And so we have to guard our hearts, for the Bible says the issue of life flows from it. And matter of fact, the scripture tells us to esteem another higher than ourselves. So that's the opposite of vanity. When you can look at somebody and esteem them higher than yourself, and you know, you don't have a problem with it, you are going in the course of where God wants you to be. All right, so let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for everything we've experienced. Now, Father, as I come lifting up your people's tithes and their offerings unto you, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed, knowingly or unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me, create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to take me out of the flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. Now, Lord, I ask that you will bless your people, Lord God. Then, Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, as they pay their tithes and their offerings, Lord God, I'm asking you to rebuke the devourer for their sakes, Father. I'm asking you to open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that they will not have room enough to receive. And I'm asking you, Lord God, let it be pressed down, shaken together, and running over that men would give back into their bosom. And so, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that those, oh God, that's having financial issues, who are tired payers, Lord God, that, Lord God, you begin to destroy the works of darkness that's been coming up against them, Lord God, and that you would give them favor and open doors for them even now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak money coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, even now in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord God, I pray for those who have seeded into my life, Lord, But you said in your word that whatever we give in the name of a prophet, we will receive a prophet's reward. And so, God, I pray a prophet's reward over their life, Lord God. I pray for special blessings, oh God. I pray that the favor of God that's upon my life will be upon their life, Lord. And Father, where there was a no, let there be a yes, Lord God. Father, I speak to the barrenness in their land, Lord God, in their life. The every bare area in barrenness in their life, every bare area in their life, God, I speak fertility, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for fruitfulness to come forth, oh God, and abound in their life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Every area where there is a barrenness, Lord God, I pray for it right now in the name of Jesus, that there will be fruitfulness even now, Lord. I thank you right now for it coming forth in their life even now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm thanking you right now that things turn around for them even on this day, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they will know that, Lord God, that they've seen it into Greek ground. And the prophet who walks among them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Lord said, because you stepped out of faith and seeded into my life, he said, expect it quickly. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know that if you need you have a prayer request, you can text in your prayer request to 214-507-3626 and we will be praying again. That is 214-507-3626. That's for the prayer request, it's the prayer line. And just know that stay before the presence of God. This is an hour that we really do need to press into the kingdom. And so, you know, study your word. You know, stay before God. You know, listen to your gospel music. Just stay in his presence.
Yes,
and so, you stay in his presence. And God is going to cover his people. He's going to help his people. All right. God bless you. And I love you. And I'm getting ready to end the call. You have a blessed day.